This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou katoa, kua huhi mai nei, mō tēnei whaikōrero o tātou. My name is Peter Barron, and I am the radio pharmacist, and I'm here on OAR 105.4 FM every week. Over the next half hour, we will talk about how and why and when to use medicines and other matters concerning your health. If you missed the show or wish to listen to today's show or previous shows, these are available on podcast. I'm always happy to talk about any specific issues or questions that you have, and you can contact me at The Radio Pharmacist on Facebook or on my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. Nō reira, nō mai, haere mai, and let's get started. Kia ora koutou katoa. This is Peter Barron here for the last time live on a regular Tuesday for this year. It's been rather momentous year as we've all struggled through things that I guess we were hoping we wouldn't struggle through. What's going to happen over the next 3 weeks is that I've pre-recorded an interview with my sister. For those of you listening last year, my sister Wendy lives in Iraq, in the northern part of Iraq, and I've pre-recorded with her three shows, which will go to air on regular Tuesdays for the next 3 weeks, where she talks about life in Iraq, she talks about her work, she talks about her COVID experiences, etc. So it's all fairly fascinating stuff. She gets fairly passionate about a lot of those issues. She's very passionate about sort of the issues. She slapped my hands the other day because I kept saying that she keeps working with Syrian refugees, but she actually works more with what she calls IDPs, who are internally displaced people. So, but she's going to talk to us about that. So for the next 3 weeks, you're going to be able to hopefully enjoy that interview with my sister Wendy. We'll be back on air in mid-January. They're undergoing some renovations here at the station, so we may have to pre-record, but we were doing our best to get back live on air as soon as we can. So as I said, it's what I thought we would do today is we'll sort of try and have a bit of a wrap-up for the year. We'll wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and I hope that you all have a safe and prosperous new year. I guess we've all at the back of our minds as this new COVID variant sweeps the world. We've got to sort of set aside in the back of our mind a few question marks about what we're going to be do and where we're going to be. I think one of the things that as a country we need to congratulate ourselves on is the fact that we still we have COVID in the country clearly. The Delta variant obviously caused a huge amount of concern and lockdowns in Auckland. Which was very disruptive to Auckland and to the rest of the country because they couldn't come to us and we couldn't go to them. That certainly appears to be waning. There's no doubt that we know that we've got this latest variant which is sweeping the world, the Omicron or Omicron, whichever way you wish to pronounce it. We have that at MIQ. I think we have to expect that given what's happening around the world and the ability of this virus to spread very quickly, that we need to be aware that probably plan to the fact that at some point it will be in our community. We're in the fortunate position that despite a slower start than we might have otherwise wanted, but that was largely in part to do with vaccine supply. Yeah, we've now passed 8 million Pfizer vaccinations given in the country. Well over 90%, as I understand it, of the eligible population have now received at least their first dose, and we're getting close to, in the high 80s, to people having had their second dose. What's becoming very clear as this new variant has evolved is that we probably almost certainly are going to need to have a booster dose. We always expected, we didn't know at the outset, I mean, the development of the and the implementation of the vaccine's been very rapid, and we've been very successful. But it's becoming very clear that we are going to need those booster vaccines. And I think the government's about to make a decision today as to whether or not they shorten that down. In the meantime, if it's been 6 months since you had your first two vaccinations, then please go back and get that third one. That's going to be really, really important. Obviously, in the new year, they're going to roll out COVID vaccinations for the 5 to 11, 12-year-olds, which is going to mean that the percentage of our total population who are vaccinated is going to increase. The I guess despite our earlier optimism, it's becoming clear that the virus has evolved. We expected that it would evolve. We were hoping that a couple of shots would give us enduring protection. That's becoming clear that that perhaps is not going to be the case. And to rather paradoxically, I guess countries like Australia and New Zealand are now finding that because we were so successful at keeping out COVID, then we haven't had the number of native infections that other countries have had. So it may well be that countries like South Africa, where a lot of people have had COVID, it may well be that countries like the UK, where a lot of people have had COVID, that there is some natural immunity. But of course, that natural immunity doesn't extend, as we know with influenza, doesn't necessarily extend to all of the strains. It can reduce the severity of the illness. What seems to be very clear, and as I said, this is an evolving picture, but what does seem to be very clear is that if you've had two or three vaccinations, then the risk of getting severe illness seems to diminish. And that means that the health services don't get overwhelmed. But in the meantime, we've had a year of really hard work. We've had 2 years of really hard work, but we've had a year where we've managed, certainly in this part of the world, we've managed to live our lives fairly normally. I was talking to a colleague at work this morning, and they were saying, well, look, to be fair about it, they said they're living life as normal. Sure, we haven't been, we've become a little more careful. We're getting used to doing things like wearing masks, we're getting used to the hand sanitization, we're getting used to the social distancing, and we're getting used to being careful. And that's going to remain very, very, very important. Every day that we don't have COVID cases, every day that we don't have this new variant is a day that of extra time that we buy. You've only got to look to Europe, where countries are going. The Dutch have just gone into a complete lockdown. You look to the UK, where it seems that things are spiralling out of control. We've got to look across the Tasman, and you've really got to question the wisdom in both Victoria and New South Wales of them rolling back excuse me, some of the controls that they had. And yeah, we're in early days in New Zealand. It's only last week that we rolled back the border restrictions in Auckland. I guess everybody's going to be waiting with bated breath to see what the picture looks like this time next week, now that people from Auckland are able to freely move. Well, when I say freely move, if you're double vaccinated or you've got a vaccine exemption or if you've had a negative rapid antigen tests. Now, talking about the negative, rapid antigen tests, they are available through a lot of pharmacies now. We've been certainly offering them, and part of the role is that if we're going to be doing the testing, we've got to A, be double vaccinated, B, we've got to be asymptomatic. And each day we need to test ourselves. So I'm taking a certain amount of security from the fact that I'm now able to know that I can, if I'm doing the testing for the, what we call the RAT testing, the rapid antigen testing, then we're testing ourselves each day to make sure that we're negative as well, which is quite reassuring. It's nowhere near as invasive with we're just taking a nasal swab. We take a swab out of each nostril, and you get those results in 15 minutes. So, but the parameters for the members of the public as it's at this stage, the only way which we can offer you a rapid antigen test, a RAT test, which is fully funded by the government, there's no charge for it. The conditions are you are not vaccinated, so we can't offer it to vaccinated people. You must be asymptomatic. And the only reason we can perform that test is because you require a negative test for travel. So that would be normally the situation if you're travelling on the airlines or if you're travelling on the ferries. So that's the only situation. We can't. We've had people coming in who work at the border who said, look, can we just have a test? We've had other people coming in just out of curiosity. At this stage, I'm sorry, but we cannot offer that rapid antigen test to you. It may well be in the new year that the Ministry of Health approve home testing where you'll be able to test yourselves. But just to reemphasize, those rapid antigen tests at the moment are only for people who are unvaccinated, only for people who are asymptomatic, and only for people who need to prove a negative rapid antigen test in order to be to travel domestically. So I hope that over this break, I hope that everybody is going to continue to adhere, no matter where you're going. Observe those common sense precautions. If you're in a public place, or if you're in a closed space, then please wear your masks. Please observe the basic sneeze precautions, and please keep sanitizing and keep those distances. If you're going outdoors, then it's not such an issue, but just be careful about who you're interacting with. If you have got a sniffle, if you've got any symptoms, the government's insisting, please go get tested. Go get the PCR test. The PCR tests will still be available, and they are the gold standard. So if you've got any doubt, please go get tested. That's the thing that I can really urge you to do. So as I said, I mean, I think we need to congratulate ourselves. It's been a difficult year. Excuse me, our borders remain closed, which causes huge dislocations for families. I was hoping that my sister would be able to come back. She's booked to come back in February. We're hoping that the border restrictions aren't going to change. I was certainly hoping that I was going to get my be able to see my wife, who I haven't seen for 2 years, who because immigration are not processing visas and the borders remain closed to non-New Zealand citizens. I was hoping that come April we would be able to renew that process. I'm just hoping that that with this new variant, that it'll either A, stay away, B, it will burn itself out. And that's one of the possibilities it will do. It's been spreading so successfully. It may be that it writes its own death warrant, and once it becomes the dominant strain and the only strain, it gets rid of all the others, and then it gets rid of itself. But that's going to take some time, so I don't expect we're going to get that answer. I wouldn't like to be a cabinet minister at the moment. They're going to have to crystal ball gaze as to, and I guess give everybody fair notice of what might happen in the new year. So, folks, look, we're going to go to a break, and after we come back from the break, I want to actually talk about some of the issues. So a very interesting article around vaccine hesitancy, anti-vax, and particularly the argument about pro-choice. And I saw some excellent research by a Stuff journalist. So we're going to come back and talk about that shortly. So in the meantime, let's go to a little promo, and then we'll have Lulu with To Serve With Love.
The Radio Pharmacist, sharing tips and practical advice on the management of a range of healthcare matters every Tuesday at noon on ORFM Dunedin. Taking the time to explore some of the bigger issues around health and well-being in simple, easy language we can all understand. The Radio Pharmacist, bold, innovative, sometimes controversial, and not afraid to tell it as it is. Tune in Tuesdays at noon on 105.4 FM and 1575 AM or online at oar.org.nz. That's The Radio Pharmacist, every week on Tuesdays at noon.
And kia ora, folks. You're back with Peter Barron, the Radio Pharmacist. Remember, if you do want to listen to today's broadcast or any other broadcast, you can pick them up on the podcast. Go into the Otago Access Radio, oar.org.nz website, type in podcasts, type in Radio Pharmacist, and select the show that you want to listen to. Alternatively, you can go to my website, which is radiopharmacist.co.nz, and you'll find a link to the podcast there and just go through the same process. I read, around the world, and New Zealand's not immune from that. We had a march on Parliament last week. I know that we've had local marches. And it's been an interesting combination to see the coalition, if you like, of people. There's people from what you might describe as the left of politics, the right of politics, a whole diverse group of people, from people who are staunchly anti-vax through to people who are vaccine hesitant, through to various religious groups, through to various political groups. And it's been interesting to sort of try to understand where people are coming from with regard to this. And as I said, I read this very interesting article, which was prepared by a New Zealand journalist who was trying to understand what's driving this message. And they spoke to some ethicists and various other people. And one of the very interesting points and the interesting changes in language, because I said you're seeing a coalition of people that you would not normally expect to see together. You're seeing people from, if you like, the far left and the far right. People from the far right, I guess if I was to characterise it, who simply don't trust the information, don't trust government, don't trust our institutions. People from the far left, perhaps an unfair characterisation on my part, but who have a philosophical reason why they don't want to be told to do certain things. It may come down to the same issue. And the interesting analysis was the way that this argument moved from being anti-vaccination to being pro-choice. And these sociologists traced it back to sort of arguments around the euthanasia debate, the abortion debates, and talked about harm, etc., and how these conversations have morphed from people just simply being opposed to them to people saying, well, look, we're pro-choice, we're pro-individuals being able to make up their mind, whether it's individuals who believe that something should happen or individuals who believe that it's not the individual right that something should happen. And the sociologists are saying it's actually a very interesting shift, because it shifts the whole focus of the argument away from the real issue to issues which are much more semantic about, well, am I free to make my own choices? And I guess the interesting part of this analysis for me was the fact that it came down to issues of harm. Now, whilst we're all free to make our own choice and we're free to assume our own risk and our own harm, when it comes to the greater good, and we live in a civil society which is rules based, and where we, I think, instinctively within our society, we look out for the common good. So there are times where we always put aside our choice, if you like, because the common good dictates that we don't have that choice because it causes harm to other people. I used to have, though, in my younger days, I was a very keen mountaineer. Now, I used to have a debate with my parents and some of my family and some of my friends, because people would say, well, look, you're going to do something very risky. People get killed climbing. Yes, people do get killed climbing. And my argument at the time was, but I don't cause harm to anybody else. I don't expect somebody else to come and look for me. If I don't come back, I don't come back. So it wasn't... It was me being a bit belligerent and saying, I'll make those choices. Totally different situation if we take the example, for instance, as the sociologists and the ethicists were making, if we take the example of seatbelts. Now, there are many things. I mean, wearing a seatbelt in your car, which we all do, because, and I don't think anybody seriously questions in this day and age as to whether you wear a seatbelt. We've decided as a society that seatbelts save injury, they save hospitalizations, they save enormous economic costs because they save lives. But if you were taking that from the pro-choice point of view, if you make the decision not to wear a seatbelt and you're involved in an accident, then you're likely to die or be seriously injured. It's unlikely that your choice of not wearing a seatbelt is going to cause direct physical harm to somebody else. So I can understand that argument. But let's take a more pragmatic example. Let's take the example of an intersection that's controlled by traffic lights. So to demolish the pro-choice argument, if I don't believe in red traffic lights and I decide that I'm going to drive through the red traffic light because that's my choice, then not only am I causing potentially harm to myself, but more importantly, I'm causing harm to you. I'm causing harm to the other person. So I think that was the really telling point about that article to me, and I would urge those that say that not getting a vaccination is pro-choice, then I would ask you to stop, look at the mirror, look at yourself and say, well, the next time I come to a red traffic light, if I'm driving or I'm with somebody, do I just drive through because it's my choice to drive through? Damn the consequences, damn the rest of society. It doesn't matter whether my actions harm somebody else. I exercise my free choice. So I think on that note, that's probably a good place to finish for this year. So once again, I hope that you have a safe and a happy festive season, and we look forward to talking to you again in the new year. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa.
Well, folks, all good things must come to an end, and we are out of time for today. Thanks for listening, and I hope that you found today's kōrero useful. If you have a question for me or a subject you would like me to discuss on the show, please message me on the Radio Pharmacist on Facebook or at my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. If you missed today's show or previous shows, they're available on podcast at oar.org.nz. This is Peter Barron, the Radio Pharmacist, signing off OAR 105.4 FM for today. So until next Tuesday at noon, ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.